Welcome, welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast, brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Jay, that makes 14 straight Big 12 conference titles for Bill Self. Just how big is this?
Well, for starters, it has never been done in the history of college basketball.
Bringing you all of the KU Jayhawk scoop, straight from the players, coaches, and recruits.
JK, I understand you've got some breaking news for us?
I do. I've just learned that Les Miles and his staff have landed another big recruit.
For all of the latest news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. Now, here's the staff from Jayhawk Slant.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers, and we are back with another edition of the Inside Slant podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. Now that things are rolling and we are in a time where we have KU men's basketball and Kansas football going on at the same time, we will hear from both our man on the football beat, John Kirby, and our man on the hardwood, Shea Wildebor. We're going to talk about both sports on this podcast, and we'll have special guest David Lawrence and the latest 2021 commitment, Corey Robinson, join us. First off, let me welcome in my man, Shea Wildebor. Shea, how are you doing on this beautiful Thanksgiving Eve?
I'm surviving, man. I'm sitting here watching a little hoops. Saw Cade Cunningham, the number one player in the class, do work for Oklahoma State. And gonna watch some more hoops this evening and slowly drift off into sleep, man. So I can't complain. You know, KU plays tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to maybe a little bit more normalcy, even though it seems like we're taking steps backwards.
It's funny you say that because it is. It seems like it's been forever since we've had basketball,
forever.
And we've already had, you know, teams having to drop out of different events, talk about COVID testing and everything. I mean, it's just, you wonder how much of this season we're going to be able to get in at this point.
I know. Yeah, man. I'm thinking like the last time I saw a game, I think was March 7th, senior night. And, you know, I've seen Oklahoma's canceled some games. I know Duke canceled their home opener. And I'm missing a bunch of schools, man. I can't keep up with them all, but I was really worried for a point there in time when I didn't know if KU was going to play tomorrow, man, with everything going on. I mean, you got four teams in there. There's a chance that, you know, one could have a bad test and then another one. And then so I'll just be ready when tomorrow hits and get this game going.
Absolutely. Let me bring in my man John Kirby now. And I mentioned COVID testing. Talking about COVID testing, our man John is John has tested positive for the COVID virus. Mr. Kirby, how are you feeling this evening?
Well, I'm battling. I'm battling the fun COVID that has always been talked about, and I finally have it. I've been pretty smart about how I've been going about things, but, you know, you got two young kids in the house, and one of them started having symptoms last week, and then he tested positive on Monday. And then shortly after that, you know, me and the other son started coming down with symptoms. But, you know, it's a headache, sore throat. It's down in the chest. You know, I can start to, you know, sense some loss of taste and smell. But, hey, you got to battle through it and fight it. And that's what I'm doing. So, but I do understand now, at least when other people talk about, you know, the symptoms and everything, it's definitely real. I mean, you can, when you walk upstairs and everybody's talking about smelling something and you can't smell it, you realize pretty quickly, like, really? I don't smell that.
Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting. Like you say, we've heard so many people talk about the symptoms, obviously, in the, you know, the 8 months now since this thing started. And, you know, we were just talking about, obviously, the last time Shea saw a basketball game. Basically, this all kicked off that week of the Big 12 tournament. That's when everything really hit and when the world kind of shut down for a while. And to think that, you know, you made it to Thanksgiving before you were exposed to it, that's That's probably a victory in and of itself, but still, it's got to suck no less on the night before Thanksgiving. I mean, you mentioned you're losing taste, your sense of smell, excuse me. What a bad time to lose your sense of taste the day before, the night before the biggest eating day of the year.
That will not stop me. I'm telling you that right now.
There it is.
That will not stop me. And
that is what I want to hear. That is John Kirby will play hurt on Thanksgiving Day, and he will not be deterred by any pandemic or any coronavirus.
Hey, I'll tell you who else got COVID. Amazon Web Services got COVID. Because
don't even get me started on that. Bro, I wake up and I'm like, okay, I got my Gonzaga story. Here we go. This was at like 8:45, 9 o'clock, and 8:45 became 9:45, became 11, became noon, became 2, became 4. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Like, I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's completely out of your control.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
So frustrating.
It was frustrating. But you know, the thing is with this one is this was a big deal. I mean, this took websites all over the United States down, and it was a pain in the ass.
For sure. It was like uber frustrating. Like I wanted to slam my computer down.
So what are you boys, as you can imagine, I'm not doing anything for Thanksgiving. I'm going to be right here. So what are you guys doing?
My wife and I were having
this game tomorrow at 12:30. And then just kind of see how I feel after that. Mom and dad are having people over and I've got Kemper. So I'm just going to kind of play it by ear, man. If I'm not feeling good, and I'm not up to par, I'll just kick it here. If not, I'll go with the fam and see what's going on down the road.
It's crazy that both you guys are sick. I'm over here knocking on wood because I apparently am the only one who's not ill right now. My wife and I, we're staying home and doing just kind of a little Thanksgiving here at the house because
there you go.
We live in the zip code that's maybe been the hardest hit by the virus here in our region, and with both of us having family that are older, the last thing we want to do is expose them to it by, carrying it in or whatever. So yeah, just going to play it low key tomorrow, watch some basketball, probably watch a bunch of horror movies and stuff like that. Like we always do. We're the weird kids at my house. So
hey, my mom's going on 70 and we've gone to her house for Thanksgiving for as long as I can remember. And she basically said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cook for everybody. She goes, I'm going to do all the turkey, all the ham, potatoes, gravy, mashed potatoes, whatever, the whole work. She's going to cook them up. She goes, and then I'm going to leave it on the front porch and you guys can come pick it up and go home. So my mom was like, hey, and she said this 2 weeks ago before COVID walked in our front door. So, I mean, my mom was like, hey, I love you guys, but you're not coming in here.
That's like a real legit grandma's catering right there. That's right. That's pretty cool. Well, let's start getting into this thing. I mean, obviously, like we mentioned, we are recording on the night before Thanksgiving. So, Shea, with 24 hours until tip-off with the game against Gonzaga in the next 6 days, KU is going to face the Zags and number 10 Kentucky. I mean, how much harder could the start be for, to come out of the chutes during global pandemic? Give me your thoughts heading into this game with Gonzaga, and what do you think we see out of this squad tomorrow afternoon?
Yeah, it couldn't be any harder, man. I was thinking about that today. You know, for the first time in a long time, there's no Frank Mason. There's no Devontae Graham. There's no Devon Dotson. The big fellow they had, Udoka Azubuike, he was so reliable down low. All that's gone. So now you kind of got to start. Obviously, Marcus Garrett's been around for a long time now. I don't know about this team yet. I don't know what to expect. I mean, you've got a lot of guys on the perimeter that can score. Obviously you got Marcus Garrett who can get to the rack. You've got Christian Brown. You've got Tyon Grant Foster. You've got Bryce Thompson. You got Jalen Wilson who didn't play last year because of an injury. Tristan Inaruna and guys like that. Then down low you have David McCormick. Defensively, I'm not worried about this team one bit. I expect them that they're kind of with their length and athleticism that they will kind of, continue with where they left off last year. My worry going into this season, especially early on against the likes of Gonzaga and Kentucky, is where are the points going to come from? who's going to score. You don't have the option of just throwing it to Doak 15, 20 times a game. He's gone. That ship has sailed. You know, the one thing I loved about Devon was his ability to get to the rim. You know, he could also hit from the outside. And everybody knows, I mean, you know, Marcus Garrett is the top defensive player in college basketball. He can get to the rim as well. But the one thing he struggles with is shooting. You know, Tyon Grant Foster last year was at his junior college was like a 27% three-point shooter. Is he going to be able to hit some shots? Can Christian Brown continue to shoot? Can Bryce Thompson, you know, hit some shots? So there's a ton of guys on this team that can score like that. You know, but starting tomorrow and again next week, can they do that consistently? Can they get to the rack? Can they get to the cup? Can they hit free throws? You know, can McCormick become the type of player that he showed signs of becoming? I mean, a guy that can score down low and also a guy that can kind of step outside and score. And if he gets in foul trouble, you know, what's going to happen? Can Mitch Lightfoot come in? You know, will they go big and put, you know, have Marcus Garrett guard a big man? You know, what are you going to get from Mitch Lightfoot, who sat out all last year? So I'm just, you know, when the lights come on, the ball's tipped, you know, I just want to see how these guys respond. Because I can tell you, playing the number one team in America and then Kentucky, whatever they are, 10th, there's going to be some adversity. There's going to be some times where you get hit with a run. You know, they're going to make big plays. How do you respond? If you're down 8 with 5 minutes to go, who are you going to look to? If you're up 2 with 30 seconds to go, who's going to be the guy that can close out the game? So, yeah, I mean, obviously I think you look directly at Marcus Garrett, but he can't be the only one. So who are the guys that are going to step up and kind of be the face of this team? What's the identity going to be? You know, how are they going to respond to adversity? And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things I'm looking for because this team hasn't, you know, taken the court since last March. And obviously there's some pieces missing from that team. And then, you know, you got some new guys that are ready to kind of step in and take on that role as well.
You know, Shea, you used the phrase when the lights come on. How weird is it going to be to cover a team, cover a game in Allen Fieldhouse under the lights with no fans in the building?
Yeah, I saw someone tweeted, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe Matt Tate tweeted a picture of the women's game tonight where nobody was there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, next week when I go to Allen Fieldhouse, there's going to be myself and maybe 8 other media guys. And it's going to just be completely like something I know. When this whole pandemic hit last March, I was naive and told myself that it would never reach this. Never. I mean, I just never saw it happening. I told myself, you know, the NCAA tournament will be delayed a little bit, but nothing is going to stop the tournament. You know, nothing is going to stop the season. And then as it went on and on and on, and I realized the severity of it, I mean, it's going into Allen Fieldhouse with no fans is going to be probably the strangest thing, most uncomfortable thing I've ever seen. It's just, obviously, we're in a period of time now where we have to adjust what we're used to and kind of roll with the punches, but it's obviously going to be something different and something that I hope I don't have to experience very often.
What are you most looking forward to about watching these first couple games from KU, and what are some of the storylines you're kind of planning on maybe following early on through the beginning, the first few steps of the season?
Well, I think, you know, you know, Marcus Garrett, he's the guy that's going to run the show. But when he's not on the ball, who's going to be that guy? You know, is it going to be Bryce Thompson? Is it going to be DeJuan Harris? Excuse me. You know, is somebody else going to emerge, a Christian Brown, who kind of had the ball in his hands a little bit last year? You know, how's Jalen Wilson going to bounce back? This is a kid that was hurt all of last season. I think he played like the first minute of the home game. I don't think he played at all against Duke. You know, how is he going to emerge? What's his role going to be? This is a guy that, you know, shed some pounds. I don't know, you know, if you guys remember his hair. He had that kind of wild hair, got a haircut, and really kind of refocused himself to this game, you know, and maybe kind of rededicated himself. I'm ready to see how he, you know, how he responds. DeJuan Harris, a guy that Coach Self has always spoke highly of, sat out last year, so he'll make his debut, I'm guessing, at some point tomorrow. You know, is he going to be able to take over that backup point guard spot? You know, is he going to be able to step in and make sure that things run smoothly when Marcus Garrett's out? You know, Jethro Muscadin, is he going to be able to with Silvio De Souza now gone, is the freshman big man going to be able to, you know, give David Mitch some minutes off the bench, or, you know, is it going to maybe take him a little bit longer to get comfortable on the court? I don't think he's going to make an immediate splash, but I do think that they're going to need him now that Silvio's gone. And really, I just want to see the identity of this team. You know, I want to see what the strengths are going to be. Again, can they hit shots? That's the thing that I'm most interested in seeing. You know, they've got a ton of guys on the perimeter that have the ability to shoot. You know, and when you've got three or four guys out there and you can kick the ball around and, you know, throw it down to David and he can throw it back out to somebody on the perimeter, can you hit those shots? Because they've got guys that can hit them, and they're going to get plenty of open looks. It's just a matter of them being able to convert those shots. And so, yeah, I just, you know, what's going to be the identity of this team, the strength, the go-to, what are they going to hang their hat on? And, you know, when they face adversity, and they're going to face them tomorrow, there's no doubt about it. Gonzaga's a loaded team, and they just got better with the point guard that transferred from Florida who's now eligible. And, you know, they're going to be tested tomorrow. I mean, this is going to be a game where, you know, they're going to have to come ready to play. And, you know, you can't have any plays off. You can't have 28 turnovers. You know, you can't have a bunch of uncontested turnovers. You can't have 3-on-1 breaks and throw the ball out of bounds. And, you know, you can't miss 15 free throws. I mean, you're going to have game one. I don't remember the last time that a game one has been so important, simply because, you know, you've got this one, you've got St. Joe, and then you've got Kentucky coming up Tuesday night. So you need to kind of get comfortable more. Or a little bit sooner that you might be expected to if you had some warm-up games. So, you know, I'm ready to see it all, man. I just want to see this team, you know, get together on the court and see how they execute.
Shay, let's wrap up the basketball portion of the podcast with a little recruiting update. Bill Self and his staff signed two guys in the early period to the Kansas roster. Are there any other early names that are possibilities? And maybe give me your top 2-3 guys to watch for the 2022 class from your perspective.
Yeah, they signed, obviously they signed Zach Clements and KJ Adams during the early signing period. Now they've got a couple of guys they're looking at. Jonas Adu, a 7-footer from Charlotte, North Carolina, Liberty Heights. And then Sidney Curry, a 6'8 power forward from John A. Logan Community College in Carterville, Illinois. I've been told that Sidney is going to announce his decision 5 days from now, and I've reached out to him, haven't heard back yet, hope to. But when I talked to him last week, he said it was Texas A&M and Kansas at the top of his list, so I'm kind of interested to see what happens with that. As far as the class of 2022 goes, I mean, they're, you know, obviously Grady Dick, you got to start with him. Originally from Wichita and made the move to Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. You know, Lee Dort's a big man, a 5-star big man from out in Addison, Texas. Green Hill School is a guy that they really, really, really like. 6'10", 240. He's ranked 19th in the class. You know, I could go, you know, on and on. Ryland Griffin's a kid, from another kid from Richardson, Texas, number 43 in the class, a 6'5 shooting guard. There's a couple twins from out in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Amen Thompson and Asar Thompson, 44th and 57th respectively in the rankings. So, I mean, they're on a lot of guys in this class, but I think hands down, if you look at it now, you know, I'd have to say that Grady Dick is probably the guy at the top of the list.
That's our man, Shay Wildebor, with the latest update on the Kansas men basketball team the night before they tip off the season against Gonzaga. Shay, I appreciate you playing hurt for us tonight. Have a great Thanksgiving. We will talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care, man. Have a good night.
See you, bud.
All right, Kirby. We didn't have football this past week, obviously, but we're hoping to have a game this Saturday. It wasn't necessarily a slow bye week, though, even without the game happening on the field. Let's talk about the coaching change specific to the offensive line position and what else is going on with this program that fans maybe should know about right now.
Well, Randy, yeah, it was a double bye week, and you're looking for no news or you're looking for a slow time, and then, you know, Les Miles makes the change at the offensive line coach with Meadows, which, listen, you know, when we had a chance to talk to Miles on Sunday, on Monday, he said he's been thinking about this. This has been talked on the inside. And listen, this is a tough business. These guys are in a tough business. Luke Meadows got a family. He moved his family here, you know, almost 2 years ago to this month. So, you know, sometimes you don't see these guys as normal guys. You see them as football coaches. So it's never easy when these guys lose jobs. So, but, you know, it's a performance-based business, too. And you know, Miles made that decision. And he made it long before Friday. You know, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I've had some people say, "Wait, why'd you make it now?" You know, why not make it now? If you know, as Les Miles, that's what you want to do, hey, go ahead and make it. You know, John Marukian's going to take over. You know, he's an offensive lineman from Toledo. That's where he met Matt Campbell. He went with him to Iowa State and followed him there. Then he left and came to Kansas this spring. So, hey, you know, three games. He goes in there, shows you what he can do, see if he can give these guys a spark. Maybe he talks with a different mentality and gives these guys an edge that they weren't playing with earlier in the year. So, you know, that was really the big news on the field with the team during the double bye week, I call it.
Before we look ahead to the TCU game, we're going to be joined now by, you know, one of the voices, the Kansas Jayhawks, a great Jayhawk himself, Mr. David Lawrence.
We're going to welcome in our first guest and KU football analyst, as well as a former KU football player, David Lawrence. David, how you doing?
John, I'm well. I guess well as can be expected, right? We're in the middle of a very fluid situation, and one that we never really know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm excited about, you know, winding down football with some positive things, and then using that momentum to go into a great signing period.
Well, even though the team's 0-7, it sure doesn't seem like there's a lot of boring moments. You know, the Jayhawks are going to have a new offensive line coach the last three games in John Marukian. So I want to start there and just talk about, in these last three games, what can an offensive line coach come in and do, and what do you expect?
Wow, great question. And obviously I'll ask Coach Miles that question tomorrow, as I'll be filling in with for Brian on Hawk Talk. But, you know, the first thing that jumps out at me, I mean, we don't really beat up the individual because it's amateur football, but we've had a problem in our offensive line, but the left tackle position has really been problematic. And obviously I know that the people that are on your site are, you know, well-versed in that as well. And, I would think, you know, maybe something to be done there. What we do know is, we got to be more productive there. And, you know, and right tackle really, really struggled 2 weeks ago in Norman as well. You can't really change the philosophy. I mean, we've had an issue with blocking throughout the season that needs to get better. And that's not just the offensive line. I talked about that last time, you know, with you. We've got to get better at the tight end and fullback position and out wide. But, you know, people have talked about, you know, do we chip more? Do we use slide protection more? We're not going to change anything without a spring ball in between, right? So I don't expect any major changes. Maybe different motivational techniques. Maybe moving some personnel around. They've had some time to do that. That's why I said that, you know, maybe we could see something different left tackle, who knows, right tackle, where they're at. And then, you know, Adams Reed, Garrett Jones, Werner, Cable Dew. I mean, these guys have all shown some signs that, you know, that they are going to be good players in the future. The reality is quarterback and offensive line is the most difficult place to play as a true freshman. And that's all we have. You know, we've got all those true freshmen that are getting some looks on the offensive line and a true freshman quarterback, but that's just the reality of where we're at and building a program. But I would say, you know, look for the kids that they feel are most ready, those true freshmen coming in and getting some more snaps there, some more reps, and just trying to be better, more efficient at the tackle position, particularly the left tackle position. And, you know, I don't. Coach Meadows was a, you know, seemed like a great guy. Looked like he probably would have had good relationships. But we'll see how the new coach does with these guys, trying to inspire them to, you know, to play better, more together, less penalties, and you know, giving Jalen Daniels more time. Right, that's what it's all about. And you know, I think one thing you can do is some stuff hitting quick, you know, and I think that's something you could see. And I think Hyshaw is a guy that can do that, you know, just quick hitters to where, you know, we're not having to take a lot of time. We can just get in interference lane with the linebacker. You know, we don't have to block him for a large amount of time, or, you know, the defensive end can't loop around our tackles and get into the mix because it's going to hit quick. You know, that's something I think they could also take a look at.
So being a former offensive lineman, I mean, is there much he can do with three games? I mean, it's not, you can't expect a miracle. You almost got the sense from Miles yesterday on his press conference that I don't know if it's a tryout or these last three games, but it's a lot to expect a guy to come in and all of a sudden snap his finger and you start saying, wow, what a difference this line makes, isn't it?
Yeah, and he did say it's not a tryout, but let's face it. I mean, this is big time football, and anytime you're interim, it's essentially a tryout, right? I mean, you're showing what you can do.
Sure.
And for more reps, if not for, you know, your next job, wherever it's at. But yeah, to answer your point, you know, to expand on what I said before, I think you need spring ball. You're going to need a spring ball to change the course of, you know, looking at different types of protection, making big changes, you know, guards to tackles and so forth. And then, you know, really getting in that weight room, looking at these four youngsters, offensive linemen that are showing promise for the future, you know, seeing what they can do in the off season. And, you know, I think Adams Reed doing something that Dejon Terry did with his body could make Adams Reed kind of a Dejon Terry on the O-line next year. So I'm excited for that.
Before you and I came on and went on the air, you were talking about the TCU game. You were watching a little bit of them. What have you seen from them?
Well, I mean, they beat Texas in Austin, right? They haven't won outside of the state of Texas, if you believe in those random stats. Duggan runs better and more than he did in last year, in his freshman year. They've had injuries like everyone else. Their offensive line looked they didn't look themselves last week in Morgantown and had their you know, least productive, least impressive game. They've missed three offensive linemen, a couple of corners. They're running back by committee. Their defense is good, maybe not spectacular as it has been a lot under Gary Patterson. Duggan's good, you know, and he's their leading rusher. And, you know, they've got a bunch of other athletic running backs, youngsters that they use to kind of spell each other. You know, they you know, have one good wide receiver, but not a terribly impressive unit outside, but a very solid team. It's, you know, they've had some big time victories this year. And let's face it, everyone, you know, is feeling confident. And when they play Kansas, they want to show the world what they can do. Just think, you know, if you're a defensive end and they've got a guy named Coleman, probably the best freshman rusher in the league. And, you know, people are excited when they play us because they're dreaming of getting four sacks in a game. And they're probably extra fired up, you know, when they play Kansas because of what they think they can do. So they're going to be excited and a chance to kind of show themselves, and they haven't played for a couple of weeks. And, you know, they want to be impressive out there, and who knows what, you know, you can get in a bowl game this year in a little different way than in past years. So not Gary Patterson's best team, but a solid team. And they blocked three punts in two games, so special teams is solid. It'll take our best effort, you know, and it, you know, we need our next step up is to be competitive, right? Everyone talks about getting a win, but let's be competitive and have a chance to win. And crazy things in late November game, certainly a little chillier probably up here than it is in Fort Worth. So I'm excited and hope we have the opportunity, right? Because, you know, we're still kind of holding our breath for that. But this young team, they've probably dealt with more adversity, John. And this is something I'm going to say. I've just been thinking about this in the off week. I've been around Kansas football for 40-plus years. I don't know that there's ever been a Jayhawk team dealing with the adversity that this one does, ever. Of course, COVID makes it pretty unique going back to 1918. But then they got, you know, two classes that are kind of decimated, the junior-senior class from the lack of high school recruits in their age group. And so not a lot of upperclassmen. Then the injuries, the opt-outs, the COVID tracing. I mean, you name it. And this team has had it. And you know, you see this team kind of, I think they're kind of coming together and it's making them stronger. Certainly, you know, we're up against a lot because we aren't as experienced and, you know, in some cases not as fast, not as big, not as strong. So we got a lot of overachieving to do, but I think they've shown some resiliency, but they've had to overcome a lot. And I think this is going to make them strong moving forward because you survive a great deal of adversity and it does make you better.
So I want to go back on something you said. You talked about Coleman, the rush in from TCU, and I know you follow recruiting. You may not get deep into it, but I know you're always asking me about it, and you follow it. He was committed to KU until the very end last year, and about a week before signing day, he flipped to TCU. So just think if the D-line would have been able to hold on to him.
Wow. Man, see, you're going to break my heart, and that's what I – it's always a signing day that because you know, if you start following it and that happens, your heart just breaks, right? I mean, oh God, you're right. But I love the guys we have, but that's a great story that's going to make a lot of us feel sad when they hear it because he is he's big time. Our tackles are really going to struggle blocking him, and like I said before, he's going to be excited because he thinks he's going to be able to. Get a lot done because we have not been productive at that tackle position.
Well, David, as always, one of the best to cover KU football. I hope you and your family have a happy Thanksgiving and a good call on Saturday.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate your site that you share and you share with me. And I appreciate all the people that follow it or on it, you know, and the passion you have for Kansas football. You know, and just to quote the late, great Glenn Mason, right? And Mace looks better now than maybe he did before because he was solid. He was a solid ball coach. He was a tough guy. He was not an easy guy to interview after games, which I had to do for many years.
I remember
but
that.
But he said, hey, don't get me apathy, you know? Be upset or be excited. But just don't act like you don't care, and that's what your readers have. I mean, they're excited and they show a lot of passion for Kansas football, and certainly I kind of feel like we're all brothers because you know, we have something in common that you know is not easy to do because typically fans turn into bandwagon people and they jump on board with whoever's in first. But if you're a Kansas football fan and have been for years. Then you know what tough love's all about.
Well, David, thank you very much, and definitely I want to get you on again in the future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Kirby, that was a great interview with David Lawrence, and it's interesting to hear his take on the offensive line position. You know, we've got three games left in the season. I'm curious, what would you like to see from Les Miles' program before we close out the year?
Well, Randy, I think number one is, you know, continue to play hard. And if you've really watched this team and gone back and watched them, you know, sometimes it's not the most fun to do, but they are playing hard. You know, sometimes there are positions where they're a little overmatched. Sometimes there's some positions where they're not as talented, but you can't get that confused with not playing hard. And the other thing
is they are building for the future. You know, I was listening to Hawk Talk tonight, and I can't remember the amount of freshmen, but they've played more freshmen than any other team in the Big 12. I mean, I would have to think there's very few teams in the country that's played more than Kansas. So this is big. You know, Randy, I don't what year did you walk on at KU?
99. 99 to like 2001. Those were the years that I was in the program.
Okay, so I mean that was the Allen to May, the beginning of Mangino. So, you know,
just before Mangino, it was all under TA.
Yeah, okay. So you know, right after you were gone, you know, they decided to start, you know, Banks Floodman, Kevin Kane, Nick Reed at linebackers. And yep. Those guys were freshmen, okay? And I remember watching them the freshman year and, you know, thinking to myself, man, these guys got a long way to go. Then after sophomore year, you went, oh, they've got less of a long way to go. And then as juniors, you're like, oh, these guys have kind of figured this game out. Well, that's kind of what's going on right now with the Kansas program now is you're playing these young kids and you're hoping that they understand the speed of the game. They understand the intensity, how physical it is, and then they get prepared for that next year. And then they're used to it now. So when you ask, what do I want to see? I want to see the young kids keep progressing. And if they go out and get their butts kicked, fine. But you got to learn what it's like to play at that level. And the only way to do it is go play. And sometimes you got to get your butt kicked to learn to understand how you don't get it kicked. So,
absolutely.
You know, once you've had it kicked enough, you start figuring out ways that you don't get it kicked as much. So I want to see what these young kids can keep progressing and playing with fire. And I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of things that these young kids bring some leadership to the program and a lot of the intensity. So I think that needs to keep on going. And that's what I'm looking for.
Let's look at this matchup with TCU. What's your take on the match on the game with the Horned Frogs on Saturday? And let's get a prediction too.
Well, TCU has been a weird team. You know, they lost to Kansas State, and I went back and watched that game, and I mean, they did not look good. And you know, listen, I'm not dogging Kansas State, but Kansas State's not that good either. And I mean, TCU wasn't good. They looked bad against West Virginia on the road, but then, you know, they go on the road and they beat Texas. They go on the road and dang near beat Iowa State. So, you know, this is a weird team, kind of an up and down offense. Duggan, I think, you know, is a solid quarterback. He can make some plays with his feet. Their offensive line has been banged up some. They lost a lot of players from last year. The guys that have stepped in this year just haven't quite developed like they need to. Defensively, got a nice front four. I mean, everybody remembers, we just touched on it there with David Lawrence, Coleman, who was committed to Kansas. Now he's starting at TCU as a true freshman. I think the kid's got like 9 or 10 sacks or something like that. He's way up the list, and you know, they've had some opt outs and some injuries, and it's affected their team too. Now, I did a interview with the guy from the Fort Worth newspaper, and he said that all their top players are expected to play this week. So, you know, number 30, I can't remember the kid's name, the linebacker, number 30, I was watching him. He's a good Wallow. Wallow's his name. He is a really good football player. TCU still has good football players. Like, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I know a lot of fans were looking at this game going in saying, hey, TCU, Texas Tech, at the end of the year, they'll be the best matchups. They probably are the best matchups for Kansas. But TCU still has good football players, and they've played some good games against good teams. So, you know, Randy, you want to see Kansas compete and love to see them have a chance at a win. I just think TCU is just still better. And if TCU plays their game and Kansas plays their game, I'm coming out. I'm going to say TCU 28, Kansas 14. And as usual, give me your take.
You know, I'm actually, I think I see it being a little bit closer. I see this one. I mean, I see TCU is clearly the better football team. I don't think anybody would argue about that, but I think we see, maybe this offensive line come out with a little bit of fight, you know, maybe just looking a little bit differently, just a little bit different approach to their business after the coaching change. And I think I think guys respond. I also think this team's going to be excited to be back on the field again. I see this one going 31-21 TCU.
All right. Hey, you're the KU offense going to put up a little bit more points. You're giving them a little bit, giving Maruki and some credit coming out and getting them going.
I am. I think this, they've had a chance to finally, I mean, they've had more practice than, I mean, obviously they didn't have a spring. They really didn't get to do any work in the off season, as we've talked about so many times. They're finally starting to get to know each other a little bit. I think, Jalen Daniels is going to be back, be healthy, has had a chance to develop more chemistry with his receivers, get more comfortable with the way the protections work. I think we do. We see the offense start to click a little bit, and I'm optimistic for Saturday. Let's put it that way. Now that we've talked about the game, you know, the last few podcasts, when we get to the recruiting topic, there just hasn't been a lot of news to talk about, or it's just been a slow time, or that it's because all the commitments for the 2021 class are already in the book. But Kirby, it seems like things are starting to pick up again.
Yeah, boy, I was a fool for thinking they would be slow. I should have known better. I mean, I've told everybody the whole time, guys, this thing's going to be slow. We know who the class is. As long as they all stick, we know what's going to happen. Maybe there's one ad and then boom, you know, all of a sudden news is popping everywhere. You get a couple guys decommit. You get a couple ads. I mean, it's, you know, again, I've done this for 20 years. I should have never thought that. Corey Robinson is going to join us. I love the pickup. He's one of the latest commitments. Well, he is the latest commitment in the 2021 class. You know, 6'5", you know, 280-ish, 7-foot wingspan. He is a true offensive tackle, and that's what I like about him, that I think he is probably the most true offensive tackle in the class. And I got to tell you, when I break this thing down, he might be my favorite offensive lineman so far. So, you know, he'll join us here in a little bit. And right before we went on the air here, Randy, and did this podcast, I had a story and some breaking news up. Xavien Bryce, a wide receiver.
Yes.
From Texas. He's a 2022
kid, right?
Yes. And Emmett Jones has been on his kid for well over a year. And like I posted on our message board, I don't question Emmett Jones. Emmett Jones knows receivers. Go look at the guys he had at Texas Tech that are there.
Yes, sir.
Look at the guys that are in the NFL that he recruited. I mean, one thing I don't question is Emmett Jones knowing wide receivers. And he was on Xavien Bryce for a long time, offered him back in January. And Bryce is an interesting kid. When I first started watching his film, I'm like, is this kid a quarterback? Because he's got like a 2 or 3 minute clip up where he's just making throws and he's scrambling out of the pocket, and he's athletic and fast. And then this year he really focused more on wide receiver, where he's going to play at Kansas. I mean, you know, he's got length, and he's got, you know, he can make the short catch, he can go deep. I like this kid, you know, a high ceiling kid, especially once he starts learning the position a little bit more. And some new names that following, Marcus Imbo, an offensive lineman from Wisconsin. He was committed.
Love that kid.
Yes. I mean, now I'll tell you what, you get Imbo and you put him in with Corey Robinson, and now all of a sudden you got some guys that look like Big 12 offensive linemen. Now, there's a lot of work to go on Imbo. I've had some conversations with him here in the last week, and, you know, he's still taking phone calls, and, you know, he's recently decommitted from Arizona State, so he doesn't want to go rushing into things, and I don't blame him. He's a smart kid. He just got out of a commitment, so he's gonna keep his eyes open and listen to what people say. Right now, it kind of sounds like Purdue, Oregon State, Kansas would be the three fighting up there at the top. You know, you still got Mandela Tobin, who was going to decide Friday, and now he's pushed it back a week from this Friday. Jarrell Boykins, a defensive lineman from Louisiana. And then a name that I'm going to bring back around. Haven't really talked about this guy much since probably the spring. And he is an explosive defensive end. Garfield Lawrence from Texas.
Yes.
I know Quan Drake's recruited him. Josh Ergel's been on him. You know, I think Kansas is sliding back in on him. I know Tennessee just offered him last week. But they got one spot, I believe, over on that defensive side on the line. And they would just take the best first available to come. And, you know, he's a guy that could could come back around in the mix. So, and you know, then there's the 2022 kids that, you know, we're starting to get some more articles on, a lot of offers going out right now, you know, to the 2022. So we're in that weird spot right now where you're trying to figure out who is Kansas really interested in, of who they're offering, and then who's interested in them, because you know how this 2022 thing goes. That's a whole year away. So, you know, you get a lot of twists and turns in that recruiting.
Oh, no doubt. Let's go back to the studio line now, where Kirby's going to be joined by Corey Robinson, who is the latest commitment in the 2021 class.
We are joined by Corey Robinson, the latest commitment to the 2021 class for the Jayhawks. Corey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I want to ask you this. First of all, Kansas got on you late in the process here, not too long ago. Just talk about the coaches that recruited you, how it all got started, and how this all came together.
Yes, sir. So, you know, the process, you know, it took a little bit longer for me than I think most people. I actually spoke to Coach Marukin in, like, around April, May, and he really liked my film, but, you know, they wanted to see more. They wanted to see my progression and for the next season. And then after, like, my sixth game, I spoke to Coach Ergel because he actually got in contact with my head coach. And, you know, he really liked what he saw. He was like, you know, we're really going to be looking at you pretty hard. And then about two or three weeks later, I got an offer. And, you know, it's been moving from there.
All right, talk a little bit about yourself as a player. At least on your film, you look like a true offensive tackle. Tell me what coaches liked about your film and what will you bring to Kansas?
Yes, sir. You know, I like to play nasty. I play hard through the whistle. I'm trying to put somebody in the ground and on their backs each time I step on the field. Each play, I'm trying to do that. You know, I like to play with length. You know, I have really long arms, too. So pass protection, I like to keep guys at a, you know, pretty far distance from me. Run blocking, I like to get low in them guys' pads and just drive them back and create those holes.
You know, going through the recruiting process, talk about what stood out to you from the Kansas getting to know the coaches, and what were some of the reasons that you decided Kansas was the best place for you?
Yeah, I love their energy. Each time I spoke to one of the coaches, they sound really upbeat and excited, you know, about where the program was heading and about me as a recruit. You know, they showed a lot of genuine interest. It wasn't just like a little text here and there, an edit that, you know, every other player is getting. Like, you know, we had real conversations about, you know, what my position would be like if I was to come to Kansas. And, you know, we had real conversations that let me know, you know, the type of coaches and people I'd be dealing with, you know, every single day. And I just liked them a lot.
When you committed, I saw some of the current players who are committed reach out to you, make comments on social media. Have you had a chance to, you know, join in with them or talk with them or chat with them on social media at all?
Yeah, I've had, you know, no current players right now, but I've spoken to a lot of other guys that are committed. You know, I'm actually in a group chat with them now on Snapchat. You know, we talk pretty, you know, pretty frequently. But, yeah, we spoke to a couple guys, and, you know, we're all ready to go, ready to get something going and, you know, be a part of the new culture at Kansas that's coming, that's going to be a winning culture. And we're all pretty excited, you know, to get down there.
You know, staying on that theme, Kansas is in a rebuilding process right now. You know, what do the coaches tell you or sell you on the fact that, you know, they're looking for players to come in and help turn this around? How did they sell you on that part?
Yeah, they just kept telling me I'm going to be able to be a part of the change, be a part of the, you know, the new, you know, culture at Kansas, which is going to be, you know, wins that are coming in the future. And, you know, they're working really hard each day and each week to put a good product on the field. And I believe that, you know, soon enough, people are going to be talking more and more about Kansas.
That is Corey Robinson. He is the latest commitment to the 2021 class. Corey, I really appreciate you joining us, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
John, wrapping up this edition of the podcast and just talking about the flurry of activity that we've had with recruiting, do you think there are many more names that we could see added to the list right now?
Well, Randy, you know, it's going to come down to creativity. And we've talked about this, that there's ways And we may not ever know the ways, but there's ways to get kids in your program, whether it's a blue shirt, whether it's a gray shirt, whether it's, you know, they started up something not too long ago that was a 1x3 or a 2x3 where you can walk on the first year and then get a scholarship the next few. So it's going to be interesting. And, you know, as I'm sitting here, a name that just totally, you know, skipped me over, the quarterback from Ray Peck that they just offered. You know,
Conrad Holly.
Yeah, he's a good looking kid. He throws the ball well. So these guys' names all of a sudden are coming back in, but this staff knows what they're doing. And if they can find good players and they can rework some things to get kids in, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, Randy, we may not ever know. Okay. I may hear some rumblings about how they were able to do it. But if the kid doesn't ever go on the record and talk about it, you know, usually it won't come out maybe till later. So, you know, I'm assuming they're being creative right now. And the other thing that you got to watch, and this will get interesting once the season ends, is the transfer portal. Because I think Kansas is keeping their eye really close on that transfer portal to see who they can pick up.
That will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant Podcast. That's our man, John Kirby. You heard a little while ago, Shea Wildermore was with us, previewed the matchup with Gonzaga tomorrow. John talked about everything heading into the TCU game on Saturday, as well as gave us an update on all the flurry of activity from the recruiting trail from Les Miles and his staff. If you have not subscribed, if you're not somebody that's been able to enjoy the full experience of Jayhawkslant.com by being a member of our premium message boards and getting your access to the Allen Fieldhouse suite and the Memorial Stadium Slant suite, there is no better time than right now to sign up, get a membership, gift a membership. If you've got a friend that's a huge KU fan, there is no better gift that you can give at the holidays than the gift of Jayhawk Slant. Get all the best from the best to covering KU men's basketball and Kansas football. Shea Wildermore, John Kirby, and myself, Randy Withers. You've been listening to the latest episode of the Inside Slant Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.